a shir from the Shiri Das with you. So before we start, let's talk about who the Shiri Das was and what the Shiri Das represented and what was the unique elements of it. The Shiri Das was in the name that the Telzer Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, gave to his shmuzin. As opposed to being a Musar shmuz, at the point was Musar, it was a shir in Das and thought in the world of Das, of understanding of Torah. So his two sons he published were one shiver called Shirei Halacha and Shirei Das. He published and there was overlap between the Shirei Das and the Shirei Halacha. That was one of the chiddushim of Tells, was that there was overlap. Like one of the hesperim in the sugya of Gemara in the Dorm in the first parak, what the getter of the concept of Yodis and what the more of the Shaila Yodis, whether they work or they don't work or not. So the place where he handles the Shaila is Masbid is in Shirei Das, not in Shirei Halacha. Right? So he was comfortable making an overlap between the world of Halacha and the world of Das. That's the first element of Kiddush. When I was in Yeshiva, Gifter, when he would say, so Wednesday nights was the Shirei Das, and they put up a sign Wednesday afternoon by Mincha time, whether there's going to be a shmuz or not. And sometimes the sign would be Sichu Musoris, and sometimes the sign would be Shirei Das, Shirei Das. And it was, sometimes Rishiva would say a shmuz. It was a shmuz. Sometimes he would say a Shirei Das, which is more like a machshava de kazach. The Kiddush of the Shirei Das was that our generation is already used to this. B'shaitoya, when he was, you know, giving the shurim, they published the shurim, they were not, there was a very big Kiddush that in the world of literature belt, he's quoting Tanya, and he's quoting Kabbalah, and he's matching Maral. Nobody was doing that beforehand. The person after him who did that was a Dessler, and eventually from a Dessler, Rosh Shapiro was a Talmud of a Dessler, and you know now Rav Huttner, and I was like, yeah. When I was a Yugaman in Yeshiva, it was still just on the cusp of becoming normal to quote Rav Huttner's. It was like Rav Huttner was his own style and his own Yeshiva. And if you want to go hear Huttner, you want to hear Huttner, but that should come like mainstream in the yeshivas was not. It's much more mainstream nowadays. The Shir Das was a chusa with the Leshem. They learned Kabbalah together, and he argued with the Leshem. So he was a Baldover to argue with the Leshem. So you just get put appear where he was in the world of Kabbalah and Machshava. He quotes the Leshem one place in the Sefer and he disagrees with him. So for those of you who are not familiar who the Leshem is, we have other problems. Anyway, by this stage of the game. So he has a Shir Das. In this week's parasha, I'm sorry. No, the Shirei Das, Rav Yosef Leib Bloch. Rav Gifter was a Talmud of Rav Yosef Leib Bloch's son, who was a Talmud of his father. So, Rav Yosef Leib Bloch has the Sefer called Shirei Das, two volumes, and then his son Rav Mitzvah Bloch has a Sefer called Shirei Das. And Rav Gifter has a sefer called Pirkei Muna Shirei Das. So three generations. I don't know what they call it nowadays in yeshiva. They probably call it Shirei Das now also, but it's much more. Well, it's mainstream, partially because the world is caught up with the idea of machshava. But it's more Musar also. It's a combination of the two. So the name of the shir in the gate of this week's parsha is Karbonis. So that's already, you understand what the word. We're starting from left field, coming it together. It wasn't. It's not uncommon that in the Sefer that the first half of the shir, as he calls it, the shiurim, has nothing to do with karbonos. Like the final twist at the end brings it back to the world of karbonos. Rabbi Erlewick told me recently that his favorite sefer of Musar is Shir Das. He holds it mostly Yisodis of understanding and Haga ben Adam Lechaber, etc., understanding people's psychology, etc. He finds in the sefer Shir Das. So that's the sefer that he goes back to most often out of all of his Torah that he looks at. Is in the Shir Das. So it's a chiddush to me that, you know, somebody wasn't a Telzer was learning Shiri Das, but it's not a chiddush to me that that he enjoyed the Sefer very much. The Sefer is Mola Begodish in Yesodus. Okay, so he starts off, and so I'm going to just go through, give you over pratim of the shir. The shir is 13 pages long, so it's not like a v'shaito. When he would say them, I think they took like about 2 hours or so to say them, and then they were not actually written by him. They were written by Talmidim. A lot of them written by, and then they were edited by his children and published. So this was said in the year Tuf Resh Pei Vav. So you can do your math. That was a few years ago. So he starts off with trying to understand how is it that one last point. Almost every one of the Shirdas starts off with a pasuk, quotes a pasuk. And at first glance, again, it's not obvious to you what the shaychus of the pasuk is to the title, or to the topic, to the parsha, whoever said it. The pasuk is Tamim Tiyam Hashem Alekach. That's the pasuk. So we're going to work with Tamim Tiyam Hashem Alekach. He's going to say basically 3 or 4 nakudas that I want to touch on in this year. So the first question is, what was Yitzchak's hava mina to give the brachas to Esav? Exactly what was the that he wanted to give the brachas to Esav, but it would seem to be difficult to understand. Okay. So he says, at first glance, it seems to be an extraordinary question. Really, what was his Avimina? He didn't know that Esav was a Rashi. He made such a mistake. Rivka, who wasn't brought up in a house of Kedusha, understood it. He was brought in the house of Kedusha, didn't get it. How do you not shmek a rice? Rabbi Chanan, I heard this from somebody who was learning a Torah Das when Rabbi Chanan came to America, and he was one of the Bachurim who was Mishamish Rabbi Chanan when he was here in America. So he told me this, says, you can't imagine the Kedusha of Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan one time was traveling in a car, and they were going by taxi cab to somewhere, and Rabbi Chanan said to the driver, where are you taking me? It stinks here. It smells horrible here. They're going through Times Square. It doesn't smell bad in Times Square to our nose. To the nose of Rabbi Chanan, the tumah which is there was so horrible that it smelled bad. You have to picture what Rabbi Chanan was. Rabbi Chanan was such a kaddish that, you know, going through Times Square because of the tumah of Times Square, Pashat physically had a bad smell. So Yitzchak couldn't stop that Esav was Russia. Slami Stavr. So he says, at first glance, I'll tell you the simple answer is we have a concept of the concept of brachas was given to Avraham Avinu. The concept of brachas that he should give to Yitzchak should give over, that he understood. That's part of his responsibility. He knows that it's Kibbe Yitzchak, we'll call Yitzchak. Not both of them are going to get the bracha. He knew that. Those are all known to him. Bracha belongs to the Bechara. That's clear that the Pshat, the bracha belongs to the Bechara. Yaakovino's whole title was that he bought the Bechara. It wasn't that the bracha should be given to the non-Bechor. So Yitzchak should argue, simply, the Gemara says, Bahadi Kasha Drachman Olamali. I have no right to deal. It's a good Kasha, but it's not my job. Right? So where is that phrase taken from? That's the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that Yeshaya Novi comes to Chizkiyahu and says that with a nevuah that you're going to die. You're not going to live. You're going to die. So that's a psukim. And then it says Chizkiyahu daven, and then the Rosh gave him the nevuah. He added 15 years to his life, etc. So Morris and Hedren said, what was the conversation? What was Chizkiyahu? He says that Yeshaya comes to Chizkiyahu and says, listen, you weren't Isaac Kapir of your review. So you deserve to die. The Bereshit submits to the Torah. You're ignoring the Mitzvah of the Torah. You're going to have to die because of that. So Chizkiyahu says back, I saw Baruch HaKadosh that my child's going to be a Rasha, Menashe. Right? So I didn't want to be Merlin to a Menashe. Now, if the same when you say Menashe was a Rasha, that's like an understatement. It's like probably the understatement of the century, right? The Rishas of Menashe was mind-boggling. The Rishas of Menashe was a person who took. He found every Sefer Torah in all of Eretz Yisrael and cut out every name of Hashem in every Sefer Torah and replaced it with the name of Avodah Zarah. you got to really be into the Avodah Zarah for that one. The Sefer Torah written by Moshe Rabbeinu, which was in the Zohar, they had to hide it because they were afraid it was due to that Sefer Torah also. So there was one kosher Sefer Torah in all Eretz Yisrael left over after Menashe was done. So Chizkiyahu understood that this is what the Korban HaBayis came because of Menashe. Right, because of the various that Menashe did. So Chizkiyahu said, I didn't want to bring such a child into the world. So Shai says back, body captured, it's not your business. You have mitzvah in the Torah. To have children. That's your responsibility. And the Bereshit is Cheshbonos. The Bereshit is secret. They're not your business. So Yitzchak Avinu said, "I have a chiyuv to give a bracha. To the bechor. I understand the tzaka gakasha. It's basically, but what's kind of done? That's not my job." And Yitzchak Avinu, of all people, who was his meter, was the meter Sadin, that to do the right thing, no matter what. That was the right thing. What's going to be? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Okay. I mean, the whole milah of the office of Rav Avinu's nisayon was to go, to make any sense you should kill Yitzchak? No. But that's what we got to do. So what's our kasha? Yitzchak, how can we make such a mistake and give it? Right? That, l'chara, the problem is, that would be the simple answer. But it doesn't work in the psukim. Right? It says, v'yechra Yitzchak chara gadayla. Right? And he actually gives him a bracha at the end. So where we seem to be grappling with it, there's something else besides this cheshbon of that he has to give a bracha to the bechor. He had felt some type of kesher to Esav that he should be giving him the bracha. So that's the right way to say the question. To say the question, what was his havmina to give the brachas to Esav? It's pasha, because that's what he's supposed to do. Like, end the conversation. Okay, so he says an approach which other people say as well, that his plan was, at that point in time, to give Esav a bracha, was that Esav and Yaakov was to make some type of a relationship, some type of partnership, etc. Okay. But he says, I have a different problem, which I want to explain over here. He says, and he really spoke about this in the in the Dimash Das, that what's this whole thing with the tzayit? Yitzchak tells Esav, go out, bring me miatamim, like I love, and then I'm going to give you a bracha. So what's that about? What is the deal that he's... Later on, it says, "Vayarach Esrech begodav." So, and then "Vayivarcheyu." But Yitzchak Lekim, that the bracha was immediately adjacent with the idea of smelling the smell. Rashi says he smelled the smell of Gan Eden, the tremendous smell of Gan Eden, and he gave him the bracha. So the Sapurna over there says, and it's the Sapurna. It says, "Vayarach Esrech begodav." The harkes of nafshay betanu tzanugas areyach. Right. So we find such a concept. We find that Shaul HaMelech was echad to Nevuah. Shaul HaMelech had a tendency. He got the Marash Shnor. He got a ruach of depression upon him. When they would take the musician, would play the music, Matiyalov Shom Yad Hashem. Through the music, he was able to connect into Kedusha. So similarly, a person through Tanugas HaReach is able to connect into the world of Kedusha. It says, what's the pshat? But the chara, it sounds strange. So let's put it in our modern terms. Right? We go into the stipler. The stipler was known as Ruach HaKadosh. Right? The other stipler, he says, Ruach HaKadosh. He says, 1 second, before, with Ruach HaKadosh, we have to have a geshmaka breakfast. And then we get Ruach HaKadosh. In our mind, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what's the connection between having a geshmaka breakfast and Ruach HaKadosh? So Yitzchak Avinu is about to give the brachas with Ruach HaKadosh. She says, first I need to have a geshmaka breakfast. Then I have to have some nice pesachim. And then we'll give you a bracha. Right? So Rosh is trying to write a tshuva. He says, the pshat's not going. 1 second. Pulls out the CD player and he puts in classic Beethoven's whatever, and now ja, shegevaldik, jetzt verstehe ich. You know, like, it doesn't really seem to fit our picture of what the Rosh Hashiva is for sure not, right? Okay. So this, he says a Likud over here, which is, I want to read you the words of it, because if this was a Chashev in Likud, which he said it in multiple places. Rabbi Elimeir, his youngest son, the Talmud of his father, said it in his Shir Das a few times as well. And I heard it from Tamidim of Rabbi Elimeir, heard it from a Gifter, this Nakuda as well. And this was a Nakuda which, it was one of the Nakudas which tells was in a certain sense unique vis-a-vis the other yeshivas, the Musa yeshivas at that point in time. There were other yeshivas, but other Musa yeshivas, not all yeshivas, but Musa yeshivas. Rebark Bear was a yeshiva in Knesset Beis Yitzchok, right? Knesset Beis Yitzchok was a break-off from Slobodka. The guys at the Bakram Yeshiva didn't have shaklis to Musar, so they had a break-off yeshiva. They needed a yeshiva, and Rebark Bear became a yeshiva. So the world of Musar was not necessarily most easily in this Kabul out of... In the world of yeshivas, they felt that it was innovation, and this idea of learning Musar, kvias of learning Musar, etc. I'm sure some of you have heard of the Musar Machlokes, right? So, Telz had its version of it in 1907. Reblazer tells it was a Talmud of Yisrael Salanter. So he introduced Musar into the yeshiva. And the Bachrim were not happy with it. And the Bachrim made a rebellion. And they left the yeshiva. And they went to the main shul in the city. And they were learning in the shul, not in yeshiva. This is totally an aside. It's just a musik, like, you know, what? So the Pater Rosh Rav said over, like he was learning, and he learned by Reblazer Telzer. Reblazer Telzer lived from 1910. So... Blazer Gordon. So he said over that how did Blazer win the Machlokes? It's very simple. Blazer tells it was a person who had Avas Atara to the nth degree. By Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's Chasna, so Rav Chaim asked Blazer to be the Masada Kedusha. That's Rav Yoshua from YU. So his parents, the Masada Kedusha was Blazer tells it. So he asked Rav Chaim, like, why did you pick Blazer tells her to be the all the Gedolei Olam were there. I mean, everybody was there. It was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's, you know, son, older son getting married, and his wife was a Feinstein. He's a merchant's cousin, so it was a nice shidduch, you know. Right. So you hold he's the biggest guy. This is biggest guy in basic nish, but in Avos Torah, there's nobody like him in the generation. This is what Rav Chaim Brisker said about Rav Blazer tells. So he asked Rav Chaim, how do you know? So he said, when the Voloshin closed in 1892, so Rav Chaim was available to. So Blazer, who was the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva in Telz, contacted Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim should come and say Shir in Telz. They always talk about the idea of the what ifs. What if, you know, that had happened? Anyway, but okay. So Rav Chaim said no. So Blazer wrote him back. So I understand. It's uncomfortable that, you know, you should be saying a Shir, and I Rosh Hashiva, you should be just be Magen Shir. I'll give over the yeshiva to you. I'll be the rabbi of the city, and you'll be the Rosh Hashiva. I'll give over the yeshiva to you, but I want my Tamidah to be Zachar to hear your shiur. Rav Chaim said no. So Rav Lazer writes him back. He says, I understand. It's uncomfortable. I'll give up the position of being the rabbi and the Rosh Hashiva, and you'll be the rabbi of the city and the Rosh Hashiva, and give shiur in the yeshiva, and I'll be a balabas in the city, and I'll take care of a crisis of the money. It shouldn't be your headache, and you should, all right? But be just that my Tamidah should be Zachar to hear your shiur. So Rav Chaim said that Madrega of Avos Torah to give away the Rabbanus and the Rosh Hashiva, because he wanted something to hear my Shurim, that's unheard of. I didn't hear that Maisa from a Gifter, otherwise from somebody else, but the Gifter said a different Maisa about Rav Lazer, that Rav Lazer, Shuas morning, after davening, Shuas morning he would daven, he would not daven, he would daven in the Shul Beis Medrash, he was the Rav, the main Beis Medrash in the city. And afterwards, the minig of the community was that the whole community, with the Rosh HaKohol, etc., would be malava the Rav to his house. There was a kiddush in the house. On the way, a bacher, he passed by and there's a bakar there. And the bakar starts, Reblazer sees him and remembers that the bakar asked him a kasha. He said, talking learning to the bakar. And for 20 minutes, he forgot about everything else. He was talking learning with the bakar, that the whole city is waiting. He's talking learning with the bakar. So finally, after like, you know, a few, you know, you're clearing your throats and you know, type of a thing. And eventually somebody got through to him that, you know, there's people waiting for him. He says, what can I do? He says, when I see Torah, it's just like a shikr. When he sees a bottle of Brumfin, he can't control himself. So I can't control myself. So that Yeshiva said over that maestro. And they said over another maestro, he wants two bachim are arguing and learning, based on Medrash. So the Yeshiva had French windows. French windows are like these windows which open up, like they're like windows, but they're like door glass doors which open out onto the lawn. So the windows, the French doors were open. The bachim were arguing and learning. Reblazer was walking by and he heard it. He jumped through the window to argue and learning with them. Like he couldn't control himself. Like, you know, it's like, ah! You know, it's like you have some man flying through the window with a cape. I'm here to tape shot the Gemara. You know, like, you idiot, you're wrong, you're right. That was what Reblazer tells us, right? So Reblazer had an opposite Torah. So the bachim rebelled against. So he says, bachim are sitting and learning, they need food. So they were sitting in the shtat based medrash. They left the yeshiva. They basically spat in his face, and he raised the money to make sure that they had the food they didn't eat. They should be able to eat. While they were sitting in the, you know, they came to him. They spat in his face. They ran away from his yeshiva, and he was supporting them while they were learning in the other place. So Panach Rav said, "We lost. That was the end of it. Like you saw what Musar did to a person. Like none of us were able to withstand that because our guy was a problem." We thought we knew better, but he knew he knew better, but he also knew that you have to have the midas of the person. So we lost. At that moment, Musar won and we lost. That's what Rabbi Richard Rav said. You know, but there was a big machloikas about Musar. So many of the yeshivas were non-Musar yeshivas. So, but one of the kudas which he, in the world of Musar yeshivas, you know, were used Musar. The Musar was very intense, breaking down the mensch. Very much wasn't tells. So he says like this. This is all hakdama to this. Get to this, the paragraph. Okay. We see from this the following. Whatever madriga you reach, you're still a human being in a body. The smallest person to the greatest person, we have the same koyches and hergeishes. Any action you're going to do, the body is part of the story, and the body is a body. So Gam Yitzchak Avinu, he also had that. Obviously, in Yitzchak Avinu, the amount, the role that it played was much less than it plays in ourselves. But so he wanted to give the bracha. He wanted to give the bracha that there should not be any part of his being who was not involved in this bracha. So he understood that. See, he's 99.9% neshama and 0.01% goof. The goof should also give. How do you get the goof to give? You give it a geshmaka breakfast. All right, that's what we have. We have the yom yun. We have a geshmaka breakfast. The ikur is not the breakfast. Like ikur is the, you know, like nowadays. Like they tell me, if you want to get people to come to learn, food. Right. No, that's not what you mean. Okay. That was my cynical aside about that thing. It's ridiculous. But anyway, that's besides the point. But he's saying that see, says it's not going to work. If ignoring the goof doesn't work. Ignoring the goof means that he says you take a spring and you press it down. You press and you press and you press and you press. And it goes lower and lower and lower and lower. But you're putting more and more pressure into it as you're pressing it down. One day it's going to pop up. And when it pops up and it flies horrible. You can't ignore the reality that you're a goof. Yitzchak Avinu understood that means he has to get part of his being in there as well. Which means every part of his being should be involved. All of his koyches and yonos should be achayim boy. Yazrei v'sei lezeh. That therefore he tibaleis of lotzud tzai l'hochel matamim. So he required that there has to be matamim involved in as well. because the kirchas and the muchim shebenafshay will also be feeling good. They'll also join into the bracha and give the bracha with the full kirchah b'shpah of the person. This is the aside which he says. Rabbi Meir said it that in a different shmuz. Rabbi Meir said that you say in davening that the last capital of all of Tillim. So, Hallelujah, big Barisar, Hallelujah, Kurav Yulah, Hallelujah, Besekha Shafer, Hallelujah, Beneva Lachinor, Hallelujah, Besefer Mocha, Hallelujah, Beminim, Beugov, Hallelujah, Besetzle Shama, Hallelujah, Besetzle Surua. Kol Neshama to Halokah. What's it saying? There are different ways that you relate to things, the different emotions that you have. You need to be ma'asher that those emotions exist. You need to recognize those emotions, and you need to then find a way to turn those emotions to be ma'al HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. But to ignore that they exist is an exercise in futility, and it's worse than that. It's dangerous. So there's moments when there's the take out shayfer, which is the way you mahal kodesh baruch hu. There's moments of navel and chinor, and he goes through each one. He talks about each one of them, how it represents a different type of emotion that the person would have, a different type of feeling the person would have, that we have to respect that, recognize it, and then find a way to connect that to kedusha as well. But to ignore that it exists, you know, I learned a lot about, you know, Sefer X, that, you know, Gadol X was always just, he never ate, he never slept. Or, you know, Rav Steinman had his, you know, piece of bread and his tea, you know, the Vilna Gaon had his piece of bread and his tea. I'm going to do the same thing, right? You're an idiot. You're not going to do the same thing, right? The Vilna Gaon was holding on a madrega, that is the amount that his goof needed. Your goof needs more. If you don't give that more, you're stuck. Judas is a different shmuz. What page is it? Called Palais Magala Glacho. Where he says the same Yisrael. He says the Gemara says that a person is without the Torah Shalom Tzarech is raising Mishkai Ben Afshay. Okay. So it's the Gemara Sanhedrin. So the problem is that that's a very strange phrase. Called Mishkai Ben Afshay. Shalom Tzarech raising Mishkai Ben Afshay. What's called the tzarech? So he says each person's answer is different. I need to be able to function optimally as a human being. I need 2 hours of downtime a day to chill out. So for me, that's not called bittul tzarech. That's called the tzarech. Somebody else needs 3 hours. That's not bittul tzarech. That's his tzarech. One person needs an hour. That's his tzarech. So the person needs 1 hour. Who's mevatel the 2 hours? That's bittul tzarech shel tzarech. But to say I don't need that time, you're fooling yourself, and it's going to come back to haunt you. So palais magal raglecha, he says that palais means to measure. Magal is the circle. So if you picture Kadosh Baruch Hu with the dot in the middle, and you draw a circle around that dot of what he goes into your interface with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, i.e., what you need. So that's your circle. You have to figure out what your circle is. He says, and the leeway to know that you might need some space is also part of your need. I got to get it down to, like, you know, 2 hours, 13 minutes, 47 and a half seconds. I can't do that. That I got on my mind. So that's also part of your need, not to have an exact amount. And your goal in life is to try and move that circle closer and closer to the dot. But to recognize that you have a circle. Right. If I am not going to get the optimal amount of time that I need to sleep and to eat well, and to have a chance to interface a social life, etc., I'm going to become depressed. I think I mentioned to you once. I had a close chaver in yeshiva who is Baruch Hashem extremely talkative. I'm like, you know, stoic and quiet. You know, he's really talkative. Okay, right. I'm serious. Okay, so he was learning. He was learning in the mirror in Eretz Yisrael, and he decided he talks too much, which there are elements of truth to that. And he decided to undertake a tannis dibur for a period of days in a row. So the first day, second day, and then he was getting pashut depressed, because for him that was pashut part of his chiyus was the interface of people. So the mashgiach, Rav Aaron. Around walk day one. It's a very big pekeach. So he walked by one day. He says, said the bacher's name. Says Lozu Aderech, and he walked by. I mean, his whole response was three words. The name Lozu Aderech. He caught what he's doing. That's not the right thing for you. It doesn't work for you. It's not going to be healthy. He says, and I was mamish going, becoming depressed. So a few more days, I would have been, I would have needed, whether he would have had to put him in institutionalized him or not, I don't know. But let's say, but he's definitely an institution. That's a different issue. It's a different type. This person has to recognize what his needs are. Okay. Says furthermore, we find that when you give a bracha, you put your hands on the person's head. Now that's, if you think about it, it's illogical. It doesn't make any sense to us in an obvious way. Put the hands on the person's head. So like the bracha goes down my arm into my hands. I mean, bracha is a ruchniyistic thing which I'm giving to the person. What do the hands have to do with anything? And the pesukim talk about, later on with Yaakov and Ephraim and Menashe, the right hand on the right person, the left hand on the other person, and he should switch the hands, we're talking brachas. Right? We get the Rebbe, the Rebbe gives you a bracha, who cares about the hands? That's not how it works. It works with hands. The nature of the bria, Rosh Hashanah bria, the interface between two people, and they're able to pass along something which is ruchnius, requires a gashmistic element as well. Okay. Shroim Anu Shvihiskarvus Kufnis B'mida Daka Kuzu Shimsis B'smichas Yamin Yasher Al Smol. You affect the bracha. The difference between a right hand and a left hand impacts the bracha. That's how sensitive the physical element is in regards to the ruchnistic element as well. So he says, even though inyan bracha who inyan nafshi nala b'umarumam, it's a tremendous kashim and ismashas ala adam. That the pshat is that the nefesh adam goes back misaremes misachedes b'shrusha imam makarshim. He goes back to Shemayim, to the makor of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and that's how it brings bracha down. Shemayim is talking about the highest madregas. A bracha is the highest madregas in the world. You're connecting back into the neshama nishmas al yaina and bringing bracha down. Right? Im kolzeh it goes through a kachas aguf. V'chaymer umekushar and that is part of the process. And a person would ignore that. And that the pshat is, that's why the tzedakut of a person, Masav Shal Simcha, if he says, Yisera, Yimaleim Avol Lemisparech, so then that's why the bracha comes out. Somebody just asked me this week, he said, what's the pshat? You say, Bali Simcha V'Karecha Bracha. And that's the pshat. He says, the pshat is, Bali Simcha V'Karecha Bracha, because when a person's in a merumim dekem matzav, the goof is feeling good, so the neshama and the goof are functioning, can function as one, that they want, that they feel an outward focus to give to others. But a lot of times, even my neshama wants to give. My goof is right now saying, you want to give, I want to sleep. I want to eat. I want something else. So the goof is not in the mood of focusing outwards. So it's the bracha, but the neshama wants it, that's very nice. But the goof is not in line, the bracha is not the same. When the goof is in line, the bracha is the same. So a person by a chastan, he's in tremendous state of simcha, sees that he has a kach of, the goof is in line with the neshama, and feeling so exciting that you appreciate every person who came. It's so nice that you came. You feel you're connecting outwards. Then the goof is in line in that same state of simcha as the neshama, then you can give a bracha to others. Okay. So he says the fear emes lo actually yafshel al adam lahashish mekir bais karchus sava tiviyim. It's not that you cannot. It's not that you are not able to remove your physical elements, but not only that, you're not supposed to remove your physical elements. Okay, the Rosh made it a certain way. The Rosh made a mistake. The Rosh made a mistake. He could have made us really holy. He made us with this stupid body, which gets in the way all the time. Okay, good. So he says, Balaam says, hey, it's a hechatim for the Nisoyan, it's the goof versus the neshama, etc. He wasn't a big advocate of that mahal. He says, it's not mistarba that the whole hechatim of the goof is just hechatim to be problematic. What are you tchizmeisim for? Why is tchizmeisim so important? because the goof deserves to get its star. I mean, the goof was the oyev. The goof was the enemy. Now, you know, I'd rather not have the chiyas amesim and leave the goof in the tanayin, as they say in Yiddish, right? Right, leave the goof in the dirt. You know, let it decompose and just have a holy neshama floating around, like, you know, like a malach, you know, with the wings, whatever it looks like, right? Like, who needs the goof if it's such a bad thing? Tara says, oh, goof is holy. Yeah, really. You really believe in that? So why are you so upset at your goof all the time? There, it's not that the pshat is. Only person who has the goof is also in functioning properly. And he says he brings the Gemara in the Gemara Zora. The Gemara says, "My sibur Shimon Gamliel, he was al gabi ma'ala b'har bayis, and there was a nachris achas no b'yoser. Omer ma rabu masecha Hashem." The Gemara brings in more in Tainus. Rabbi Kiva saw the wife Esther from Shabbos Rasha. Chazal say he was rock, socha, gubacha. He spat, he laughed, and he cried. So he says he spat, tipas rucha, comes from like physical. Socha, he knew that she's eventually going to marry him. The whole thing is a joke. And bacha, he cried about the beauty, which eventually is going to end up in the dirt. Rabbi Kiva crying about beauty. Like that Picasso, eventually it's going to get burnt down. I feel so bad. I'm crying about it. You know, I mean, a Picasso anyway. The definition. Okay, but let's say somebody like that, Taka, which, you know, Taka knew how to paint, but a Rembrandt, and I like gorgeous. So you know, Moshe Feinstein walks into the Louvre and he sees the Rembrandt. He says, the canvas is going to wear out. I mean, really? That's what we keep us crying about. The high shuv of the ball of that's Bali Bauer. It's going to eventually wear out in the ground. Rabbi Kiva, who went on Kiddush Hashem and called Yomai and he started the Apostle Zev that Hashem Rekayim Bechol Abub Bechol Nafshecho. Right? What's going on? She says, like the Morris has a cash on the cards. Also, they missed that. The Morris says it was by the corner. He was going this way. She was going that way. So he couldn't avoid her, and he saw her. Okay, but he's spoiled from the beauty. He's spoiled from the beauty of a woman. The Morris made the nature of man that we have. He's spoiled from the beauty of a woman. That's not treif. That's more Rabbi Masach Hashem. What you do with it is problematic. We have to figure out what to do with it. But the etzim is that man responds to beauty. The basic makes this has to be beautiful. You know, you can imagine the Baal Musa comes and saying, Hazeh, ridiculous, gold, garnished, maybe it's a garnished merit, make it out of like mud. Right? That's basically, it should be muddy, you know, like, you know, because you'll see it more ruchnius, right? 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 Come on. But you know about Muslim like that, right? Right? So why does it make this so beautiful? Why does it have to be beautiful? The Kabbalah Tiferes, it has to be with Tiferes, that's that beauty. Yaakovino is referred to as Tiferes. What's going on over here? If the Bali, quote unquote, Bali Musa are right, not the real Bali Musa, but the Bali Musa who think they're Bali Musa are right, the Torah doesn't make any sense. So the Morris says, Karen Zavisu. But the Maisa, he was so spoiled from her beauty, he said, more Rabbi Masach Hashem. Rabbi Kiva is Ruch Sacha Gubacha. The Morris talked about making a bracha, a special bracha, on a beautiful person. So the Magen Rambam says, you know, it's a woman. You're not going to miss that. If you happen to see it, it's worth to make the bracha. So there's a kviyas bracha on that. You're supposed to say fe. That's what you're supposed to say, right? Bracha to Hashem l'kein machol mashan abrius fe. No, it doesn't mean that we stop, right? You know, like Teretz is that. The Bar Shem made us that we're misragged and misfall from beauty for a reason. That's not treif. That's a mouse of the mensch. It's not just there's hechatim to overcome it. I'm always misfall. Like we have this hargosha. Like they build yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. The buildings are gorgeous. The Aron Kodesh is gorgeous, etc. The place is a chazer shtal because nobody keeps it nice. Like I grew up in Tells. You know, Tells. You ever said they had a gardener?
they had a person who planted flowers. And the other bracha used to make fun, you know, like, you know, we need more food for supper, and all they care about is the flowers. I understand. You can all look like, you know, what a yeshiva shouldn't look nice. There shouldn't be a guy who's planting flowers in the flower bed in the front. Should be weeds instead. Like, you know, should be weeds. You know, like, to show you that there's nothing important in this world. You know, to show that's the shemuz, the kavod l'sifaris, about the chashivas of that the way you we recognize the value of something is through the tiferes. Okay. He says the fact that Rekiba was everything Rach Saka Gabocha is a tremendous. He was able at one moment to see the beauty, to see a whole future. That there's eventually going to be the time you're going to be in the ground, and that's going to it's going to wear out. Like Rekiba is being misragish. In our terms, we would say if they're not Rekiba, you'd say like, you know, you have the person that comes to you and says, you know, like, I had one of my chavrusas in yeshiva. So we should look at the story. His name is Rabbi Rakach. Rabbi Rakach is he has a shul in he has a Beit Knesset. I'm sorry, Beit Knesset in Chicago. Chosha Tamachacham. We were chavrusas for a few years together. See, he is a ben achaben from the Meisur Rekeach. On the Rambam, so that's from Tunisia. He's probably 20 generations of Chachamim. His father became a physicist instead of being a Chacham. His father was a physicist. His father was one of the top three physicists in the country working for the United States government. He was like involved in like real top secret stuff, etc. When he and his three colleagues would fly somewhere, they never would fly, the government would not allow them to all fly in the same plane. Because if something happens to the plane, they can't afford to lose all three of them. That's when he was born, he's the Bechor. So the father comes in to his wife, you know, after the birth, and she's crying. You know, so he asks her, why are you crying? She says, because you're going to make him into a physicist and not a Talmud. I want my son to be a Talmud. Like, she's already had the whole life planned out, you know, like, you know, your lady, have time to worry about it? Like, now you're worrying, you're crying about it already now, you know. Rabbi Akiva was crying about the fact this woman's going to eventually die, and, you know, like, you know, you have time. Like, you know, let's, right? Rabbi Akiva was so aware of everything, that was part of his, right? My son was born, and my wife, you know, we adopted him, and so, like, and we're like, very shortly after, my wife one day, like, was sad, said, you know, and he's turned 13, I'm saying, wait, yeshiva. I said, you know, let's worry about that then. We have time to worry about it, right? But that's women, you know. Like, you know, like they. But Rabbi Akiva was able to see all of that in one rega and react to it, because in Rabbi Akiva's world, that was real. So Rabbi Akiva, the more says that Abaya once, there's a story with Abaya that he saw a man and woman traveling together. He said, "It would have been me. I would not have been able to control myself." So what's the pshat? Abaya's awareness of beauty, his learning didn't destroy his awareness of beauty, it enhanced his awareness of beauty. His awareness of the gods of HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that he had a tremendous, now he had to control himself not to let that become a negative thing. But it wasn't, he lost awareness about the burial and did in the world. Adarabat, he created that the whole mouse of the mensch was alive, every part of it. The awareness of beauty was also alive. The Rebbetzin told us that she and her gifter used to take a walk together. When they were in Telstone for those 2 years, they were in Telstone. They'd take a walk together every day lunch. Every day lunch, this is for 2 years, almost 2 years. They were there for almost 2 years. They left post-Sukkot, they came back for Elul. So almost two full years they were there. Right, every day they went for a walk. Every day the Rishiba was so overwhelmed by the beauty of the Hari Yehuda that he burst out into tears. Burst into tears every single day for 700 days in a row. Being this ragish on the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't that, you know, he's a Talmud Chacham, she was a Talmud Chacham Nifla, she was a person who was a Masmid Atzim, she could, the night before he said his shir, he was up the whole night chazing over the shir to say it over, to see if he really felt it was emes, because he didn't have much of a shir, but he didn't feel it was emes. So he would chaz it over again and test every point to see if he felt it was emes or not. He could say shir for hours without notice the passage of time. But when he went for a walk and he saw the beauty of the mountains and the beauty of the flora, right? He was so distraught, he started crying. So being a God, Olam Gadol, doesn't mean that you've lost appreciation of the beauty of the world. Adarab, 99.9% of the world, the people who supposedly are, people who appreciate nature, are not nisragish from it 700 days in a row, the same route. Eventually, we get used to it. Adarab, because he had such appreciation of the Bari Olam and the godless of the Bari Olam through the Torah, he saw the godless of the Bari Olam every single day, again and again and again, to the point of being nisragish and nispal from the beauty which was there. Okay, this is the first half of the Shmuz. We didn't get to the second half, but a different time.